so easy to dismiss as ridiculous nonsense the idea of a haunted house. After all, who in their right mind believes in ghosts? The thing is, what has happened when several people in the same place and at the same time claim to have had the same strange experience? Is it all a big hoax? Are they barking mad? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't, reload, or as they say in some computer circles, refresh. Rants.com, look at the Brad and Jeff story, ghost story, winners, they're right there, somewhere. Gee, I guess I better refresh my page. Ah, well, these things happen. I wonder if Mercury is, I can't even say Mercury, if it's in retrograde. Well, there they are, Ghost Story winners.
It's always in retrograde.
Thank you very much. You're right. Ghost Story winners.
And there they are.
Now, we had, a lot of you folks, really, thank you. You just did great. Things happen in your lives, and one of the toughest things for most of us to do is to put something inexplicable into words. And I want to commend all of you for doing a really good job at that. It's not easy to do, because when you're experiencing something emotionally and in a sensory way and you try to translate that to words, it's not easy. You know, Brad and Sherry are wonderfully gifted writers, and many of you listening are writers, and some of the people who submitted stories clearly have writing skills, and those who aren't polished writers, in some ways, their stories are even more vivid, because you can tell they haven't written much before, and they're telling something that is mind-boggling to them.
That is correct.
Ghost Story winners. So if you click on that, you will find the ghost story winners, oddly enough. And the first one in first place is a watcher at bedside. Now, if you look at the text, and right in the first paragraph, you'll see a link, and it goes to actually one of the Splash Art submissions, which is supposed to characterize to a very substantial degree what the bedside apparition looked like.
And very well. Very
yeah.
Well. That,
yeah. So what was it about this story that carried the day? I mean, people are going to want to know what made this story end up number one, beside its prodigious length?
there were some longer.
Yeah.
And there were many. This was really difficult. I mean, this we read over and over, and I guess this one conveyed an honest individual who is dealing with something totally outside of her normal ken and understanding.
Ken who?
That's an old word, lad. For understanding.
Okay. No, it's true. I think the atmosphere that the words were able to convey had a special flavor.
Yeah, and I think the fear and the helplessness.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was a large part of it.
But again, you go through all the entries, and you can take a couple of paragraphs out of practically each one and say, this is really good stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Now we had a number of stories that had a religious denouement, and that we neither, that did not influence us in any way. I think I can speak for all of us judges.
Mm-hmm.
If someone, we had some Muslim entries that were very good. We had some people praying to Jesus for a resolution, some praying to Mother Mary. Now, again, that was not taken into account in any way. Because
the story is what counts.
Right, and also we recognize that this is depending on your faith, and if you are a person of faith, you are eventually going to be driven to the point where you accept that something weird and strange and out of the ordinary is happening to you, and you probably will utter that prayer of desperation to your concept of divinity.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't say, oh, this is we better give this one a rating because of any religious overtones. That had nothing to do with the winner or the ones that didn't quite make it. And believe me, there were many that we debated here again. I mean, this was, as I said, many, many emails among the four of us till the wee hours of the morning trying to really differentiate the one from the other. And it's not the proficiency of the writing, nor the use of grammar and syntax. I mean, I put the English teacher part of me aside, and whether they're misspelled words or whether they're double negatives or whatever, we didn't take that into account either. It's the story. It was always the story.
Agreed. Yeah. Nicely said. Okay, so what do you want to do here? We've got time, I think, to read probably all three of these, if
mm-hmm.
you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
You're such a good reader.
Well, so are you.
So we got 3-4 minutes to the break. You want to start with the first place winner?
Okay. I'll start and go to the break, and then you pick it up, okay?
Okay. Right, I'm going to put my feet up and enjoy it.
Right. Okay.
This is a watcher at bedside.
Okay, I'm going to leave just a little introduction of how she says that her son is...
Submitted by Anonymous, by the way. We don't have...
Yeah, bitten by Anonymous. I'll try to keep this short, as the events leading up to my main experience goes back for months. Suddenly, when I would be asleep at night, I'd be awakened by a horrible feeling. I'd lose all control. Now, it's very hard to describe. It's like something was rising or trying to get me, and when it would, I would just have to suffer through it until it let go. I know I sound crazy. I don't have the words to describe what it felt like. I'd be aware of my surroundings. I could hear what was going on around me. I was not dreaming. I'd be fully awake and aware and could only wait until it passed. For instance, once I went to bed early and my husband was still watching a movie in the living room, when I suffered an attack, I could fully hear what was going on 2 rooms away, the movie playing, his cough, everything. But I was unable to do anything to call out to him. At first, these attacks were small and quick, each time leaving me fully awake after they passed, and I would really wonder what in the world it could be. Finally, they began happening with enough frequency that I finally mentioned them to my husband. He was startled, and he said to me he thought they sounded like seizures. He was concerned and told me I needed to see our doctor. I was very embarrassed at the idea of trying to describe what I was going through, as I was afraid I would sound like a nut. This was mostly because the attacks, had changed a little, and a few times during the experience, I felt for all the world that I was being lifted into the air, and I could actually feel the inertia. This, to me, was a disturbing turn. I would fight and try so hard to speak or move or get my husband's attention,
mostly they would occur when I was alone in bed. But once or twice, he was right next to me. He sleeps like a rock. The last straw was a Saturday morning. My husband had to be at work by 6 a.m., and I had to be in at 7. He left for work at 5:30, as it was a bit of a drive for him. I remember falling back asleep. Then one hit. It hit so hard and fast, I remember thinking, oh, my God, this is a bad one. I fought, tried so hard to do anything to resist. I could do nothing but lie there and suffer. Slowly, while I was suffering through this, I began to realize that my head was slowly being pulled to the left. Slowly, painfully. I was wondering the whole time, what is going on? When my head was turned and I could see the side of my bed there, standing right beside my bed, right up against it, was a man. His eyes were looking dead straight into mine. His hands were folded neatly in front, almost resting on the mattress. My bed is a sleigh bed with a really thick mattress and is very high. He was wearing, I'm embarrassed to say, a dark, long gown or cloak with a hood. Not very original, I know, but it's what I saw. His face was very white, but not bone. He had skin, but very tight. His eyes were all black and without emotion. His expression was almost a detached, quizzical expression. Upon seeing him, my mind just fragmented. I had many thoughts at the same time. I was terrified, but at the same time, I distinctly felt my stomach become so nauseated. I wanted to vomit so bad. My brain, of its own accord, that's the best way to describe it, actually said, I don't want to know that is there. I also had the distinct thought that he's just watching me go through this. And slowly, I forced my eyes away, which is exactly the opposite of how I'd think I might react to seeing a man sitting next to my bed. Suddenly, the thought occurred to me to pray. I'm Catholic by upbringing, so I bring a prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Sorry if I offend anyone, but it's my belief. No sooner had I said the first few words of the prayer than I suddenly heard a chorus of other voices pick up with me. Happy, excited, encouraging voices that said the prayer word for word and louder than any sound I had ever heard. It's like someone turned up the volume for the first time. I didn't know how sound could be so clear and vibrant. I remember listening in awe, and everything melted and stopped. I was exhausted and fell asleep. I have no sense of time, but sometime I awoke again, and it was coming again. This time I felt myself once again rising from the bed. I hated it. It was a horrible sensation, and I remember thinking that I really need to go to the doctor. Just let me get through this. And I don't remember much. I was getting so exhausted. After it passed, I fell asleep again. And then a third time. The last time I could hear my cat, a large male black cat who's very attached to me and very expressive, hitting my door and meowing sharply. He has a habit of throwing his body against the door when he's earnestly trying to get my attention. If he hears noises outside or if there's an animal in the backyard, that's what he does. I felt so bad because he sounded very alarmed, but I couldn't utter sound or move or do anything. I don't remember much after that. When I awoke, it was past 7:30, and I was late to work. The rest of the day I was sick. I felt very sick and
someone spoke to me, I found myself having to ask them to repeat themselves. Not because I couldn't hear them, but I just could not get what they were telling me. In short, I ended up going to the doctor that morning. About a week later, he immediately suspected seizures. They performed a series of MRIs to rule out any possibilities of scar tissue on the brain, tumors. Nothing was found. I had to do an EEG, but nothing came of that either. I was so embarrassed at having to describe what was going on. I never did tell them about the man. I was even more embarrassed when they couldn't find anything. When the doctor, who was still concerned, suggested I see a neurologist, I drew the line with promises. I would consider it if I found the issue to be getting worse or bothersome. I've often wondered what could be the answer. I'm certainly not against considering that these were seizures, and actually I was so convinced that is what they were, and was really worried about the possibility of brain problems like scarring or tumors, and relieved to think I wasn't a nut or fruitcake. But not a single night goes by. Not a single night goes by ever when I don't think of that man thing I saw. Every time I lie down, I think of him and worry I might never see him again. Caesar's, a night visit, demonic in origin? I don't know. But I think I'll ponder it for the rest of my life. Seeing him, that was one of the worst experiences I could ever imagine. It was very hard to go through. Words will not describe it.
Well, she did a fine job describing the indescribable, I guess.
Yes, she did.
Again, that was a very interesting story, very good story. There were many of them, though. We could have had five or six winners. I mean,
yeah.
First place.
And yeah.
So almost got to the point where you tossed a coin. They were that good. We have 3 minutes till the break here. They're about. Let's see. The next one is about 6-7 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't. We might not be able to get to the third one. If we should start the next one. Nah, it's not fair. These are all good stories. So what we'll do is, after the bottom of the hour break, we'll read the second place winner. And the third one is rather short, and we may or may not be able to duck it in time, but we'll see. So what I hope you can do is remember that each year's entries are all there for you on Brad's page, and they are excellent. It's a wonderful bunch of, it's a cross-section of America's view of, well, paranormal activities.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie about that now. It's supposed to be quite scary.
Yes. I haven't seen it, but, you know, quote, everyone, quote, has been writing to me about it.
They like it?
Yeah, they all just scared them to death. They couldn't breathe. And I think it's going to be like Blair Witch.
Really?
But by the time the majority of people getting around to see it, they say, this isn't so scary. The only thing Blair Witch did for me was give me vertigo. I mean, I don't know. I have a friend many friends in studios and so forth are always writing me, look when this comes out, or look when that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting. We compare reviews of different movies back and forth. And I don't know. You know, at this point, I just can't imagine.
Well, you're going to go see it, right? Or will you wait for its DVD?
I wait DVD. You know my idiosyncrasy there. I totally get into film and people rustling and talking and sometimes even cell phones coming in.
And, well, when you and Sherry go to the movies, they know, and then and I guess those searchlights on the red carpet get to be a little old, too.
It's, well, that's true. That does.
I mean, it's
that
very does. Nice thought and all that, but it's a small town, and, you know, they, you know.
Yeah, that reminds me of an email I got from someone not long ago saying, oh, I know who you are. You're the couple that always travel in a limousine. She happened to be a neighbor where we lived before, and she looked out when our son had sent a limousine for us on a special night, so she thought that's how we travel.
Well, limos in the castle, they go together like peanut butter and jelly.
That's right, horse and a carriage.
Think about it. Okay, back in a minute, we'll read the second place winner. As we continue.
The chill winter night.
Yeah. That's a duck with a monotone voice.
And where'd the wolf come in?
Well, that only someone like you would know. That duck. Well, just the sound of crickets in the background. All right, let's see if we can do this here. We don't have a lot of time, but we will. And this was written by George Paxinos, or Paxinos. George, forgive me. It's probably Paxinos. But anyway, George, you did a good job. This is another unusual story, the chill winter night, second place. I will not even attempt to duplicate the dramatic brilliance of Mr. Steiger's read of the winner. You outdid yourself tonight.
Well, thank you. But you, I know, with your voice...
Ah, I read it like an anchor man.
No, you don't.
All right, here we go. This is a true story of perhaps the only time in my life that I might have seen a real ghost. During the winter of 1969 and 70, I worked at Frankfurt Main Airport in Germany. I lived in a tiny, picturesque village of Schwanheim, which means swan home, a very few miles away from the airport through the dense, dark German forest. One bitterly cold winter's night, coming off work at 02:15 in the morning, I boarded the company bus that took the late shift workers to our various destinations. As we emerged from the forest, I asked the driver to drop me at the crossroads on the edge of town. I didn't want the bus to pass through the little street downtown where I lived and awaken everyone asleep. On this particular night, the older part of the village, along the forest's edge and to where I lived, almost half a mile away, was simply too far lovely and peaceful. Its old style, homely little German wood and brick houses, too gently restful under their mantle of snow and a cold, starry winter sky, for me to wish to disturb that peace that seemed straight out of a Brothers Grimm fairy tale. Also, it was a beautifully clear winter's night, under 20 degrees or more of frost, and I wanted to enjoy the walk home, a quarter mile or so along the forest to my left, and then a right down another quarter mile of old town to where I had a room with a wonderful German family. The first leg of my walk was backed to my right by the loveliest little old wood and brick German gingerbread houses, each with its tiny garden lovingly tended behind a carefully painted wooden picket fence. That night was so still, I could hear the hissing of the old gas lanterns under which I passed, set on ornate century-old cast-iron lamp posts. To my left, across the narrow road, loomed the dark, always mysterious forest, all whitely hung with blades of hoarfrost that occasionally broke and fell, tinkling through the leaves and the thick, tangled, thorny, dense undergrowth at the forest's edge, now all frozen bare and solid by grim winter's grip. Their broken glass tinkling was counterpointed by the quietly admonishing hissing of the lamps. I breathed deeply, exulting in my frozen breath on the so-still winter's air in the sleeping little storybook town. Suddenly, around 15 paces in front of me, a white, long-sleeved shirt facing me full on shot out from between two houses on my right, swaying in its passage through the air, over the picket fences, and on across the street at the speed of a running man. I wondered where his legs were, and also why no head. How had the runner jumped the fence, and why and how was he running sideways, facing me full on? And why in heaven's name in only a shirt on a night like this? These thoughts ran through my head within the first two paces the man would have taken if it had been a man. Within a microsecond, my brain had solved the puzzle. It was obviously only a man's white shirt on a washing line being run out on one of those European washing lines, an endless loop with a little crank to string washing across streets and alleys, like you see in Italy. But the next microsecond told me, this is not Italy, this is Germany. And who would hang out washing on a night like this? And there are no washing lines across a public street, at man's height. Fine, said my brain, it's a giant seagull flying sideways to me, wings vertical. And my brain came back, seagull, here in the middle of Germany, on a cold winter's night, and sideways at that? Oh no, this is a light. Someone behind you is shining their flashlight from right to left across the wall in front of you. Wall? Across a public road? Absurd. By this time, less than 2 seconds, or whatever that shirt was, fluttering and softly glowing a pinkish-blue phosphorescent white, it had crossed the street and was flitting through the frozen tangle on my left, without a sound, as though the brush were not even there at all. What? Running forward to follow it, I found myself stopped by the tangle. I saw the shirt a few dozen yards away from me, fluttering and glowing and rapidly receding at the speed of a man running fast between the forest's trees and expertly zigzagging to avoid them while making no sound at all. It grew more distant, and then was only a thinly edged on silver of pale shining white, finally disappearing entirely between trees at a range of, I guessed, about 300 yards. I watched for a while, but it never reappeared. I was not frightened, only intensely curious. Was this some newly liberated soul escaping its mortal shell, confused and frightened, perhaps by its freedom, and lost, careening off into the night like the proverbial wailing banshee? Or was it some still-living sleeper, dreaming deeply, as we all do, of taking steps that become longer and longer to finally lift us off our world altogether like a balloon, to amaze the few in the streets looking up to notice us, and wondering what we might do with our newly found abilities? Or was it some unhallowed, restless specter of grim ages long past, rising from its tomb again to some unimaginable secret tryst with its own kind, or on other undead mission incomprehensible? I listened to the hissing gas lamps the falling frost and decided it might have been some sort of warning to me to take the other road instead. So I returned to the dark crossroads and walked home the other way. To this day, I have no explanation at all for this incident, only that it happened, and that it happened to me. Marches on. Time waits for no man or woman.
Our you did a wonderful place... job at reading that.
Oh, I'm just wish I could match you, but I just do what I can do. It was good. It was George is a good writer. That was a little tricky to read.
Mm-hmm.
Third place winner, Dreams and Spirits. Thank you. All of you for participating. All excellent. And do read Dreams and Spirits. Read them all. They're all there.
All there. Very excellent. Very good. There are many, many of them. And I know some of you are going to get into some of them and say, wow, what about that? Well, as I said, it was
take them
was
for
hard.
What they're worth, each one. Don't just enjoy. If you don't like the one, you know, all right, that's fine. Nobody is going to be pleased by everything. It just doesn't work that way. I've already had one person getting ready for next year with a story. I missed the deadline and is mad and is writing writing your story up now. So
that's well, good. There, you can never start too early.
No. Absolutely right. This issue of Time is one that has been lurking around our program venue for years, and we may be doing some more about that later. I just you think about it every second, every microsecond, small atomic photon second. Time, are we on time?
Largely, largely. There's a wonderful article on this issue of New Scientist that just arrived from England. Yeah, just yesterday. I was reading it last night, and they did something. I loved the week before in New Scientist. They're exploring consciousness, which, of course, is still one of the great mysteries of science. And they examined several different, and as if there really was an answer. And then the conclusion was, of course, we don't really know for certain. I thought, now these are open-minded scientists, but they presented some excellent research, and this is how your mind slices time. Do we see time really as a continuum, or do we see it like a motion picture in little bursts and little? And it's the great mysteries of science are consciousness, the nature of time, and then I was quite interested because I mean, what do? You throw an apple in the air and it lands on Newton's head, but gravity is another. But it completely baffles scientists as to how really to define it. And now, interestingly, they think that gravity may have more to do with time than space. I found that interesting.
Well, that is. Gravity's relationship with electricity is another one.
Mm-hmm.
That
you're
is,
right.
Is,
absolutely.
Remarkable.
So isn't it fascinating, Jeff, how much research is going on in these areas that we've been talking about.
You've
and
been
I'm trying to
about.
Figure out how long we've been doing the Halloween shows, how long we've been doing shows, but how often we've brought some of these conundrums and these riddles out. And
it goes back a long way. It's somewhere between 12 and 14 years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was way back before they were bringing so wisely your wonderful books out and republishing them. And they have each one drawn rave reviews again. And people say, well, they are timeless. And you knew that when you wrote them.
Well, bless you for saying that. It has been so gratifying to me to see, you know, how wonderfully well they've been doing. And and some that were castigated and mocked and condemned.
You had your ears boxed a few times.
Oh, goodness. Goodness, goodness. I was on so many people's lists of heresy, iconoclasm, and,
other incurable viral illnesses, too.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Indeed. And thank God, you know, a good share of the world, and I'm not saying this bodaciously, but I'm not setting myself out and say, oh, they're finally catching up to me. What I'm saying is at least now I have an audience that's growing and growing for my speculations and perambulations of the mind.
Are you getting all these big words tonight?
I can't help it. My mother was frightened by a dictionary.
Your mother was frightened by a dictionary?
Yes.
What the hell does that mean?
Don't you remember the old joke, you know, if you had, you're afraid of, you know, your mother was afraid by lightning, that's why you don't like thunder. Maybe you're too young for that.
No, you got me with that one.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so whenever someone had a particular kind of...
frightened by a dictionary.
An idiosyncrasy, you'd say, well, his mother was frightened by...
While she was carrying you?
Yeah. And then fill in the blank. His mother was frightened by... You see, then you filled in whatever the joke was. So I said, my mother was frightened by a dictionary.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's cute, but I guess it dates me, obviously.
Well, we're going to do a program pretty soon on this time thing, I suspect.
I suspect we will.
It's about time.
I predict we will.
It's about time. And we're also going to do one about this whole climate change thing.
Yes.
And this fraud of global warming. That's coming up on Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Next program.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. Let's do our little good night.
I'll see you in my dreams. Hold you in my dreams. Someone to the thrill of your charms, lips that once were mine, tender eyes that shine, they will light my way to
kind of leads you, every time it leads you just sort of...
It does.
Just leads you there gently and kind of don't even want to talk. What is little Hans going to dress up as tomorrow night?
Well, I was saying Hans, as soon as he heard Mario, came running.
Mm-hmm.
Hans, I think, is going to dress up as a probably...
A schnauzer.
Pardon?
A schnauzer.
No. Well, I think he's going as a vampire this year. And we want to, again, wish everyone a happy Halloween. And, Jeff, remember, the ball at the castle starts promptly at 9. So be here. The drawbridge goes up 5 minutes after. Be sure you're here before 9.
I know. All right. Yeah, I don't want to have to try and climb over again.
No.
No, thank you. I will be there, unescorted, but I'll be there.
Well, there may be someone in the shadows just waiting for you.
Yes, I'll look in the shadows. Thank you. And lots of shadows indeed are in the castle. Give Lady Sherry a hug. Pet little Hansi on the head.
Will do.
And thank you for the wonderful programs this month. You've always just been magnificent in sharing your time with the world, and these are permanent. They're here.
Well, and Halloween hugs from Sherry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
Enjoy your weekend. You too. Good night.
Good night.
And good night to all of you, and thank you for being here. Hope you enjoyed it. We did, and have a great time this weekend. And every day is special. Embrace those days. Make the most of them. Talk soon. Good night.